And I will leave it over to you then, Helen.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody, on the 10th Sunday after Trinity. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you
And also
and
with
also
you.
with you. O Lord, open our lips,
And our
and our
mouth shall
mouths shall
proclaim your
proclaim your
praise.
praise. Majestic God, we bless you with all our being. We remember all your touches of grace in our lives and thank you for the gifts of healing and strength. O God, you are just and righteous. So we come to worship you in prayer, song, and silence. In Jesus' name, Amen. May all that is in us bless God's holy name, for he is the one who forgives our sin, saves us, and crowns us with love and mercy.
Amen.
Amen. Holy God, forgive us when we cheapen the word awesome and diminish its meaning. Forgive us when we are casual about our worship, when we revere the wrong things. Forgive us when we bow down to the idols of the world and seek to be trendy, not truthful. Draw us into your purifying love, that we may worship you as you deserve. In Jesus' name, Amen. Awesome God, your forgiveness is beyond our deserving. Your love is beyond our exhausting. Your kingdom is beyond our imagining. But we welcome your forgiveness with humility. Receive your love with joy and journey towards your kingdom with hope and assurance. Amen. And our first reading is taken from Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him, who warned them on earth? How much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised. Once more I will shake not the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicated the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. for our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
Thanks
be to
be to
God.
God. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 103, verses 1 to 8. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And our second reading is taken from Luke 13, beginning at verse 10. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can I just check whether you're hearing me? Yes, right. Well, now, occupying an unobtrusive corner in my book collection is a very old 1949 reprint of a Penguin book with a traditional penguin brown and cream cover, first published in 1916. It's safe to say that it would not attract many, if any, buyers in 2025. Its content is the text of Androcles and the Lion, a play by George Bernard Shaw, preceded by what he called Preface on the Prospects of Christianity, Why Not Give Christianity a Trial? Now, Shaw did not think much of the prospects of Christianity, nor of the consequences of such a trial, but he had some interesting, mostly severely critical, thoughts about the Gospels. Of the four, he had the most profound dislike for Matthew, but a surprisingly soft spot for Luke. In reviewing Luke's story, he's impressed by Jesus' courageous death, as told in Luke 23, and his promise to one of the two thieves who died with him, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." It's Luke's Jesus, Shaw concludes, it's Luke's Jesus who has won our hearts. And my question this morning is whether there's anything in today's gospel reading about the Jesus of Luke 13 that can win, nourish, and encourage our hearts. Can we be encouraged as we witness, as it were, the liberation of a crippled woman who had suffered such agony for those long 18 years. I believe we can, because this story is plainly intended by Luke to pick up the threads that he's been painstakingly developing in his gospel, saying by saying, story by story, scene by scene, up to now, to spell out the meaning of Jesus. First, Jesus goes to the synagogue, as he had done again and again in Luke's narrative to this point. What can that mean other than Jesus' identification with the Jewish tradition, sharing the Jewish hope, which gives rise to prayer, and commitment to Jewish community life and worship? These realities must never be forgotten, for the God of the Jewish people, the awesome in the most positive sense of that word, the awesome God, is our God. Second, Jesus' action for the benefit of this distressed woman is understood by him as liberation. As far as Jesus is concerned, liberation was at the heart of his manifesto of ministry, as outlined in his first public teaching visit to the synagogue in Nazareth. If, in Shaw's words, the way Jesus died won our hearts, the same must even more be said of the way Jesus lived and uncovered his comprehensive prophetic plan. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he said. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, and that means more than people who don't have enough money, to proclaim liberation to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed," and that word can cover just about everything, "to let the oppressed go free." Third, our gospel story today is the third of no fewer than four stories about Sabbath controversies. The other gospels give just two. So in the mind and message of Luke, it must be unusually important. In each of the four stories, including ours today, there is recorded disagreement. Why, we may ask, why is this subject so contentious? Well, Sabbath observance is one of the three marks of Jewish identity. The three marks were male circumcision, obedience to the food laws, and Sabbath observance. These defined and demarcated what it meant to be Jewish. Now, some of the members of Luke's Christian community, we may safely deduce, were Jewish, and this is important, and some were not. And the theologically brave ministry of Paul, to whom Luke looks back with a deep sense of indebtedness, had insisted that Gentiles did not have to become Jews when they became Christians. So the issue of Sabbath observance was always going to be sensitive. What Luke's Jesus gives in the first of the Sabbath controversies, the incident involving hungry and therefore poor disciples in the cornfields, is a double insight. First, a decision about Sabbath observance is dependent on resurrection faith. "The Son of Man," he says, "is Lord of the Sabbath." That resurrection faith is shared by all Christians. Second, provision of food for the hungry, as for instance leaving the ears of corn on the edges of their fields by law-observant farmers to benefit those with insufficient to eat, meeting the needs of the hungry took precedence over legal nitty-gritty about Sabbath observance. Human need, in other words, weighed more heavily in the mind of God than debates with uncertain outcome about the meaning of the word work. The disciples of Jesus in the cornfields learned that to their own great benefit, and so did the people of God in the synagogue the day Jesus joined them. and it had already been made clear to Luke's readers that whether or not the Sabbath was observed in accordance with the law was less crucial than following Jesus, being guided by Jesus, and believing in Jesus as the risen Lord. Finally, Luke makes the argument about the detail of biblical interpretation, as voiced by the synagogue president, a mark of plural, as he puts it, hypocrisies. I would gently suggest that this is less likely to be a word chosen by Jesus, and more likely a borrowed piece of sledging by later Christians in controversy with later Jews. In other words, it's been added. But whether or not that's the case, it's perhaps a reminder to us in our own day, when the churches are often in a lot of self-generated trouble and conflict, especially in our time in respect of anything to do with sex and gender, to make a judgment about priorities by holding firmly to the big, big principles insisted on by the prophets with whom Jesus identified, and less on an appeal to untypical minor biblical texts. That is to say, holding firmly and gratefully to the big, big principles grounded ultimately in the good and loving purposes of the Creator God, our God, whose timeless priority is his loving sensitivity to human need. So let us take away and take with us wherever we go this reminder of the mind and concern of the God from whom we, like the crippled woman who met Jesus, draw our life. God's concern touches us, whatever our needs may be. It is above all for our God, for our good, and it is grounded in his infinite love.
Thank you, Dad. And so we turn ourselves to our prayers. Awesome God, we bow before you, confident that you will hear us. Awesome God, as we approach you now, we are aware that we are not worthy. And yet you invite us to come. Why? Because of your great love. So we come, acknowledging our weakness and sinfulness, and yet rejoicing that you are our Father and we are your beloved children. We come with confidence, knowing that you have promised to listen to our prayers. Awesome God, we bow before you, confident that you will hear us. Awesome God, we thank you for the beauty of our creation. We are amazed by the colours of a sunset, the aroma of flowers, the singing of the birds, and all the amazing animals. We pause now to think of something amazing that you have made that we have enjoyed this week. The taste of fruit, the butterflies skittering around our gardens, tiny things or huge things. Thank you, awesome God, for all the wonders you have made. We bow before you, aware of how we are harming our planet, and we ask your forgiveness. And we pray for those places struggling with climate change, places where there are floods like Pakistan and Bangladesh, or famine, or UK farmers battling the drought conditions. Places in the world where crops constantly fail. Heal our planet, Lord, we pray, and show us how to do our part. Awesome God, we bow before you, confident that you will hear us. Awesome God, you are the King of the world. You are the one true God, who alone has power, might, and majesty. Thus we pray for the leaders of the nations, that they may have a right understanding of their place in the world. We pray for their wisdom as they seek to bring peace to troubled areas of the world. We lift Ukraine and Russia to you and ask for you to be present in all the negotiations between the leaders. We continue to pray for Israel and Gaza, asking that ceasefire conditions will be accepted. We remember Sudan and other places no longer headline news but still fighting. We pray for those who are struggling under the weight of war and oppression. And we pray for the leaders that they will have glimpses of your glory and turn away from war to be people of peace. Awesome God, we bow before you, confident that you will hear us. Awesome God, you are high in the heavens, and yet you stoop to come down and make our dwelling among us. And you care about every detail of our lives. Thank you that we can bring even the most seemingly insignificant troubles to you, and you hear us and you respond in love. So we pause now to think of those things that are particularly on your mind, on our minds right now. Maybe we have problems at work, a visit to the doctor that is making us anxious. The school holidays are long and boring, or we are afraid to go back to school. We pray also for those who have asked for our prayers, the sick, the sad, those close to death, and those that we remember particularly this morning are our very special Steph and Elaine, and also to our wonderful Jacques, Rosemary, Mary, Brian, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Andrew, Paul, Colin, Stephen, Brian, Gerald, Ian, Sue, Cynthia, Jean, John, Tom, and Margaret. And we also keep in our prayers Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And this morning we pray for the family and friends of those who have been recently bereaved. James Butler and Lindsay Brock. Hear us now, we pray. Or maybe we have joy in our hearts, good exam results, relief from pain, an upcoming holiday, a visit from a special friend. Thank you that you are the God of our good days as well as our difficult days. Awesome God, we bow before you, confident that you will hear us. Awesome God, we thank you for your great love for us. Help us to grow in our love for you in everything we do and say. Help us to return here next week, having seen more of your glory, and with stories to tell of the wonders you have shown us. As we bow before you, help us to know that you go before us into the week ahead, preparing our way. Awesome God, we bow before you, confident that you will hear us, lead us, and help us. now and in the weeks to come. Amen. And the collect for today. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now we say together the Lord's Prayer. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your name.
Your kingdom come.
Come.
Your will be done,
done.
On earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord of awe and wonder, Lord of gentleness and strength, Lord of joy and celebration, we go out into the world with you. Amen. And the blessing, the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us. And those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Thank you both very much for that. That's just
Yes.